If you got your Bibles this morning, open them to John chapter 8. We'll be at John chapter 8 in just a bit. If you remember, it seems like it's been a while. I know I spent a week at camp, and then all of our students and all of our children spent a week at camp this week. And I was the only one here this week paying for being out last week, I guess. Billy and Alex went to children's camp, and Blake and Sebastian took our students to high school camp, and I don't know about you, but it seems like a month since we've been here last Sunday. But we have been walking through a sermon series entitled Life of the Party. Jesus makes certain claims at different points in life that he is certain things, and in certain areas he brings life to the party. I believe that life is supposed to be, even as I talked about with the children this morning, that we're supposed to live an abundant life. The word that Jesus used, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant, means the Greek word is parousos. It means that it's the word that we get our word perimeter from in the English language, that we're supposed to live it to the outer extent, to the fullest extent that we can. And when we think in terms of Jesus being life of the party, that's what we've been looking at. I think back over my days growing up in Altus and things that we used to do sometimes out of fun, sometimes out of orneriness. I remember one time, I don't know if I was kind of late middle school, early high school, but I remember having a couple buddies there at school that I went over to spend the night with one of them one night. The three of us went over to spend the night at Jeff's house, and we decided part of the way through the night, once it got over, I don't know, maybe midnight or so, we decided we'd leave the house, and we had an English teacher at our school that just lived kind of around the corner and down the street. How many of you have ever been toilet papering? Some of you. Most of you just are guilty and laugh, but you don't want to raise your hand. I don't know what you call it. In Louisiana, they called it rolling. You go rolling. But we called it TPing at Altus, where I grew up. And we decided we'd sneak out that night, and Jeff and Eddie and I, and we snuck down the street to Miss McLeod's house, and we rolled it up right good, and it looked really nice, and we had done a good job. We were pretty pleased with ourselves, and we started back across the front lawn. And Jeff or Eddie, one, I don't remember which one it was, but they picked up the newspaper in the yard and threw it up to the porch. The screen door was just barely a little bit open, I guess, because when it hit the screen door, it just hit real hard like that. And when it made a really loud sound, we took off. Jeff was out in front of me, and he was leading the way, and I could hear Eddie behind me. I could hear he was gaining on me pretty fast, and all at once, Eddie's footsteps just stopped. And I turned around and looked, and Eddie was laying straight out in the lawn about three houses from where we had rolled Miss McLeod's house. Those people had put a tree in their yard, and it had guidelines running off of it. Now, probably like your friends and my friends just the same, Eddie needed to fend for himself and get up because me and Jeff were headed out of there. You know, it's amazing that the things that we do in life that we really wish or really we wait that it's dark. Now, there was a good number of you that said, hey, I've been toilet paper and I've been rolling before. How many of you ever done it in the daylight? Sebastian, the only one. That's what makes you a good youth pastor right there. But the truth is, most of us, when we go toilet paper and when we go rolling, we know to wait till it gets dark because you just need to sneak up and do what you need to do, and then you need to sneak out and hopefully not get caught. But part of the reason for that is we just have this sense in us that there are things that happen in the dark that you just don't do in the light. Jesus makes a claim in John chapter 8 that he is the light of life. In John chapter 8, Jesus makes a great claim to talk about the light and how significant it is in relation to the darkness. In verse 12, he says this, then Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself, and your testimony is not valid. Even if I testify about myself, Jesus replied, my testimony is valid because I know where I come from and where I'm going, but you don't know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards, and I judge no one. And if I do judge, my judgment is true because I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me judge together. Even in your law, it is written that the witness of two men is valid, and I am the one who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. Then they asked him, where is your father? You know neither me nor my Father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. And he spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in the temple complex, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. When we think about Jesus being the life of the party, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I'm the light of life, I want us to look at the very first verse and the very last verse in this story. When we look at those this morning, the first one, I'd say the 3 points that I would bring from these this morning. Number one is that the light makes the journey possible. Now, probably some of you, when they put this up on the screen in just a minute, you're going to think, hey, Randy didn't do very good with his typing. I'm going to tell you, I spelled it the light, T-H-E-E, for a reason. Because the fact of the matter is, it's the light that really makes a difference to us, not the light. It's the light that really makes a difference to us. It's Jesus that brings light to our world that allows us to be able to see. And the light makes the journey visible. When we talked a couple of weeks ago when Jesus made the claim that he was the water of life. You remember that? And we talked about the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Booths where they would come in and walk around the altar each day for 7 days or for 6 days with water and poured on the altar. And then on the seventh day they would come in and they would take the golden pitcher and they would pour water and they'd make 7 trips around the altar and then pour out the water. And just as they were getting ready to pour out the water at that climactic moment, Jesus said, I am the water of life. It's about me. It's not about this. That and during the festival of Booths, the festival of tabernacles, to remind the people of Israel that God had provided for them while they were in the wilderness and that God brought them through the wilderness into the promised land, that was kind of the daytime reminder for them during the festival of tabernacles. But the counterpart to the water of the day for the festival of tabernacles was candelabras that happened at night. They had 4 huge candelabras that they would set up that you could see burning from all over. And that was a reminder to them that in the process of God providing water for them as they went through the wilderness, God also guided them by fire. If you remember the story in the Old Testament, the way the people knew where to travel and where to journey was that God had led them by fire at night, and that was the reminder to them. And so Jesus comes to them to say, hey, I am the light. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says, everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. The truth is, we need each one of us, need God to shine on us in order that we would know the journey that he would have for us to travel, but that the light is what helps things to be clear and makes everything where we can see. It's what makes it visible. John chapter 3, verse 19. Most of us know chapter 3, verse 16, but look at verses 19 through 21. It says, this then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. Not only is it a metaphor for us as we look at the scriptures that there's light and good and there's darkness and bad, but the truth is we all live out that metaphor in our life. We understand that the things we do we'd like for people to see that are good. And the things that we do that are bad or the things that we do that we shouldn't be doing that we're aware of, we often want to do those in the dark so that it's not visible to anybody else. And the scriptures say that God shines light to not only guide our path, but to help us to know right and wrong in the things that we do. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 gives us a pretty great example coming from Solomon and the wisdom of Solomon. He says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble. As we look at these two verses, we know that in John chapter 3, it gives us this idea that God lights our path and that he's the light of the world. And we can't see as well in the darkness, but neither can anybody else. That's the reason we like to do the things that we shouldn't be doing in the dark so that it's not visible to others. But the truth of the matter is we all kind of like the dark as well, because if we turned all the lights out, guess what? We all look the same. When it's dark, you really can't tell what clothes somebody has on or what color they are or how well their hair is fixed or how handsome they may be or how tall or how skinny or how wide or whatever the case may be, long hair, short hair. When it's dark, you really can't tell anything, and that puts us all on an even playing field. And all of us like to relate ourselves to each other. And so the darkness kind of helps in that process, that we feel better if we spend time in the dark. But Jesus said, "Let me shine light on you that you may see and that you may know and that you may walk in the way that God would have you to walk." It's interesting, but if you think about it, flowers bloom during the daytime. Flowers bloom during the daytime. It's in the light that makes life possible for us to be people who walk in the light. When we look at the words of Solomon and we look at the things that he says, isn't it interesting that those who walk in darkness are unaware of their darkness? One of the great paradoxes of life is that man loves that which holds him captive. All of us like our freedom. But isn't it amazing at the things we chase after that take our freedoms away? Now, it's in a financial sense, but all of us have a tendency to buy things that we probably shouldn't buy. And then to some extent, it handcuffs us because now we got a monthly payment of some kind or something we got to take care of. If it doesn't cost us to the point that it handcuffs us a little bit, it costs us to the point that now it consumes our time and we feel like because we bought it, we got to use it. Isn't it amazing at the things in life that take our freedom away, and yet we crave those things that take our freedom away, and yet we'd all say we love our freedoms? It's interesting at the things where darkness takes our freedoms away, and yet we continue to walk in the darkness and don't even realize it unless we stop to think. Number two, not only would I say the light makes the journey visible, but the leader makes the journey simple. Look back in John chapter 8, at the first part, it says, "I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me." It's interesting when he says, "anyone who follows me," will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When I think about the leader that makes the journey simple, this idea of follows, in the Greek, that word is akoulouthein, akoulouthios. We translate that word follow. It really gives five different meanings if you look at it in the Greek language, the way that it's used in different places in their language. It gives five different possibilities of this idea of follow. The first one is, it gives the idea that a soldier follows a captain. You know, for us, that certainly fits as Christians, because the Christian is the person whose commander is Jesus. It gives the idea of follow in the sense of a slave accompanying his master. That certainly would be applicable to us as Christ followers, as a Christian, as a person who's ready to serve Christ. Wherever Christ calls them to serve, whatever it is Christ calls them to do, we are called to be slaves. Paul said, most often the description that Paul would give of himself in the scriptures is "I, Paul, a slave of Christ." It also gives this idea of a counselor, that we would have the acceptance of a wise counselor's opinion. For us as Christ followers, if we seek to be who God wants us to be, we got to be willing to follow his counsel. We got to be willing to follow his advice, to follow the direction that he leads us in the things that we do. When we pray and ask God to give us counsel and we ask him to give us direction. The fourth place that it's kind of interesting that it gives an idea, this picture of follow, is as a citizen. That you must follow the rules and you must follow the laws of the place where you are a citizen. For us, we know that we are not citizens of this world, but the scriptures say, for those of us who have committed our lives to Christ, that we are citizens of another world. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. For us as Christians, certainly the application is there. It's obvious that for us, we should be people who follow the rules and who follow the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And the bottom line is, we know that there was like 600 or 700 different laws that the Pharisees were to abide by. And we know that there's hundreds of laws that we read about in the scriptures that say, as Christ followers, we should do this or we should not do this. But really, when you get it all broken down, it's really pretty simple. When they asked Jesus, "Hey, tell us what the laws are. Can you break the rules down where we can remember them?" He said what? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." For us as people who love God with all we do, that's the rule, that's the law of the kingdom of heaven. For us as citizens, we should love the Lord our God with all that we have. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. That incorporates every area of life. But then he says we should love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't know about you, but if I said to you, hey, which one of those is harder? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or to love your neighbor as yourself? They're both pretty tough. But that's the rules, the law of the kingdom of heaven. And for us as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, when Jesus said, follow me, he gives this idea of citizenship. The last one is an idea that of a teacher, that there's a line of logic, that there's a gist of the speech, the lesson that a teacher gives, and for us to listen and to act upon those teachings. One of the things that I think for us sometimes, if we're not careful, is we get in the habit of coming to church, or we get in the habit of reading our Bible every day, and you hear people talk about checking your box. Hey, I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I had my quiet time, and I spent time in prayer. It really doesn't matter if you don't take the things of the lesson and apply them to your life. It doesn't do us any good to just sit and read the scripture, if we don't take the principles and the rules and the lessons and the guidance of the scripture and apply it to our lives. If in reading the scriptures and in listening to preaching and teaching and in serving, if it doesn't help us to be more like Jesus, then it really didn't make any difference. A number of you who have been in church long enough, you'll be like me. I remember when we used to go to Sunday school as kids. I see Brandon over there laughing already. Some of you are already with me. When we used to go and we go, hey, here's my offering. And then they had the little boxes down at the bottom. Plan on attending worship. After Sunday school, I'm going. I brought my Bible. I read my Bible this week. We remember checking all those boxes, but the problem is you could check all the boxes on an envelope every Sunday, but if you don't take those truths and apply them to your lives in a way that they make you a different person, a new creation, what difference did it really make? It gives that idea of follow. That's a lot for follow, a soldier and a slave and a counselor and a citizen and a teacher. And a learner. That's a lot when Jesus says, anyone who follows me, but then he says, will never walk in darkness. Now, does that mean we'll never sin? No. It just means that we won't continue to walk in the darkness. We'll always be looking for the light. There are certainly things that happen in each one of our lives, that we make decisions that we shouldn't make, and we're disobedient to the teachings and the rules of the kingdom of heaven. The kicker is not that we get them wrong. The kicker is if we continue to walk in the darkness. When I was a kid, we used to play kick the can. I lived out in the country, and so we had 6 acres that we lived on, and there was a big irrigation ditch that went by us. And when we'd have friends that would come out and spend the night, or family that would come out and spend the night, we had one street light. It wasn't really a street light because we were in the country, but it was like a street light in town, and it was right out in our front yard, and that's always where we put the can. So that wherever you were hiding, you could see where the can was. For us as Christ followers, we should always be working to get to the light. We all step sideways sometimes and get out of the light. But the key is for us, and it says, and you will never walk. It doesn't say doesn't ever be. It says that we would not walk in the darkness. I think one of the things that's interesting when it says, and he will never walk in darkness, just one of the things I was thinking about this weekend, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, it says that on that day, one of these days, we will all stand before God. And it says, for those he knows, that he will say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. And for those who haven't professed Christ as their Lord and Savior and made him the Lord and Savior of their life to the point that it made their life different, he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I would guess that there's some of you here this morning that are struggling with this whole idea of whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. I would say this. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, the Bible says he makes you a new creation, that your old things have passed away and all things are become new. Are you a different person? Are you a different creature than you were before you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life? If you surrender your life to him, you will be a different creature. It says that he will make you a new creation. There will be something about you that's different. But Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Some of you need to hear this morning. Just because you have something in your life that should not be there does not mean that you're not a Christian person. It just means you need to get back in the light. You're walking in the darkness, and you need to get back in the light. He says, depart from me, for I never, do you get that? Never? Not I knew you and I forgot you, and then I knew you and then I forgot you, and then I knew you and I forgot you. He says, I never, not once, did I know you. We should take that as a great encouragement, that when we commit our life to Jesus, He never forgets us. But for us, if we don't continue to walk in the light, if we walk in the dark long enough, it's only natural that all of us would begin to question, are we really new creations? You got to stay in the light. And when you get out of the light, as soon as you realize you're out of the light, you got to get back in the light as quickly as possible. How do you do that? By asking for forgiveness, by repenting of whatever it is that got you in the darkness, and get back in the light where you're walking with God and God continues to shape you and mold you to be like Him. But when you continue to walk in the darkness, you can expect to have stress and misery in your spiritual life. Lastly, look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, He spoke these words by the treasury while teaching in a temple complex, but no one seized Him because His hour had not come. Not only does the light make the journey visible and the leader makes the journey simple, but the protection makes the journey peaceful. It says that they're at the treasury. The treasury was the place in the tabernacle, in the temple, where people would give their offering. There were 13 offering receptacles. Now, the first several of them had specific things that you gave for, whether it was temple tax or whether it was upkeep of the temple or the operations of the temple to be able to make bread or to be able to do all the things that the temple did to purchase oil where they could keep the lamps burning. But those receptacles, but it was a place where everybody would move through the temple. The only people that wouldn't go past the treasury were the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were out further and then the court of women. And it was in the court of women, even the ladies would be where the treasury was. And it says, this is the place where Jesus said to them, I am the light of life. But what I want you to catch is not the first part of the verse. It says where He was teaching by the treasury, but it says, but no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. I think it's interesting that no one seized Him. The protection of God makes the journey more peaceful, but no one seized Him. He was teaching in the temple that He is the light of the world. Remember, the religious people did not like Jesus making those kind of claims. When He says to them, if you know me, you know the Father. And if you don't know the Father, then you don't know me. He's making a pretty bold claim there to say, hey, me and God, we're one. The religious people of the day did not like those kind of claims. And yet Jesus made it at the tabernacle. But what does it say? But no one seized Him. You see, when we're walking in the light, we have God's protection. When you walk in the light, you have God's protection. But then He says, because His hour had not yet come. When you walk in the light, you're a part of God's plan. And when you're in God's plan, you have God's protection. Those things are significant to us. Jesus spent His life on a divine schedule and under sovereign protection. Do you remember when the ladies were worried that Jesus didn't show up on time and their brother Lazarus had died? Do you think Jesus was stressed that their brother had been dead for a few days? That they were worried if He'd have showed up earlier? No, because He's on a divine schedule. You see, when you're on a divine schedule, you have divine protection. And when you're on God's plan, walking and doing what it is that God calls you to walk and do and be, you have His plan and His protection. And we all would say we believe that God's plan is the best, and yet we all have a tendency to like to walk in the darkness. But for us to get back in the light as soon as we can. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I remember we used to sing a song about running into God's marvelous light. I wonder this morning if you are walking in the darkness. And the scriptures say that if you will step back into God's marvelous light, you can proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of the darkness. I want you to know God's plan is for all of us to walk in the light. It's when you walk through your house in the darkness of night that you stumble and trip. But most of us don't trip over couches and furniture and beds in the daytime. Are you walking in darkness? Whether you're walking in darkness that you've never committed your life to Jesus, or you're walking in darkness that you have committed your life to Jesus, but you've just gotten used to the dark. Would today you give glory to the one who calls you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light? Not just light, but marvelous light. When I was a kid, like many of you, in the summertime, one of the things we looked forward to was vacation Bible school. We'd get to go see our friends, and we'd spend from 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock until noon each day, and we'd make crafts, and we'd sing, and we'd have refreshments. But I remember about vacation Bible school that we would always start out in the big sanctuary of the morning. All the kids would come in. And we had certain songs that we sang, and they would talk about the theme and set up the lesson for each day for whatever we were studying. But one thing that we always did was we did the pledges. Do you remember the pledges? We'd do the pledge to the American flag, and we'd do the pledge to the Christian flag, and then we would do the pledge to the Bible. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter 1, the scriptures tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I thought we would end like this morning. Would you stand with me? The key to walking in the light is to live your life by the scriptures. To know the scriptures, to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures, and to apply them to our lives. I believe we have the words on the screen. And we would always do it like this: attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and will hide its words in my heart, that I may not sin against God. The key to walking in the light is the map. The invitation to you today is, if you're walking in darkness, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can tell you how to come into the light. And if you already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you just know you're walking in the darkness, and for some of you, you've been in the dark so long, remember we talked about it, you've been in the dark so long you don't realize it's dark. Do you remember when you first turn the lights out at night, every night, you can't see anything? And then in just a minute, your eyes kind of get acclimated. I wonder if there's anybody that's been walking in the dark so long that your eyes have just gotten acclimated. You can see pretty good to manage. But it's not about managing in the darkness. It's about walking in the marvelous light That's the invitation to you this morning, that I will hide God's word in my heart, that I may not walk in the darkness. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you sent him to die on the cross for my sins and for our sins, that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would help me to walk in the light. Lord, I pray for all of us that you would help us to walk in the light. Lord, for those that are in the darkness today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to them right now. Convict their hearts and show them that if they will step out of the darkness and into the light, you have life abundant for each one of us. And as we work according to your plan, we have your protection. But even more, we have a citizenship in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help us to let others see our good works so that they would glorify you in heaven. Lord, give us the strength this morning, the courage to be obedient to what your Holy Spirit has said to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.